In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Lady of the Rosary,
pray for us.
St. Joseph,
pray for us.
St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
St. Ignatius of Loyola,
pray for us.
All God's angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, good evening. I'd like to start off by telling you about one of the greatest graces that you can receive as a result of confession. I think I was able to mention this at the very end, but I'd like to just reiterate it as a motivation for all of us to take advantage of the great gifts that God has given to us, especially confession. Upon making this confession, I hope and pray that all of you will receive what the Church offers, and it's called plenary indulgence. So I'd like to explain that and pray that all of you would take advantage of that. Story of a convent of nuns that lived a prayerful life, but an active life. One of the nuns dies, who is not known to be very holy, just kind of normal. Jesus appears to her. I'm sorry, Jesus appears to the Mother Superior, and the Mother Superior says, "Where is that nun?" Thinking that she'd probably be in purgatory for a long time. And Jesus said, "Well, that nun, as soon as she died, she went right to heaven." And the Mother Superior was surprised because she didn't seem to be very holy. Mother Superior said, "How did she make it?" And Jesus said, "She took advantage of what the Church offers." She took advantage of what the Church offers, and she took advantage of the indulgences that the Church offers. So, I'm going to tell you how you can all receive a plenary indulgence upon this general confession you're going to make. There are five conditions. So that means if you want to go to heaven right away, if you want to go to heaven right away, you can. How many of you want to go to heaven right away? I do more than you. I really want to go to heaven, but I mean, more, probably much more than you. I want to go to heaven when God calls me. But if you don't know this, then it's to your own detriment. Ignorance is not bliss, but it's more time in purgatory. So, good confession. Then you have to carry out certain indulgenced prayers or actions. So what the priest gives you, it may not be enough for the plenary indulgence. It may not be. Okay, if you pray the rosary in front of the Blessed Sacrament, rosary in front of the Blessed Sacrament, there's a special grace for that. Or to pray the rosary in your family. Or you make the way of the cross. Or you meditate upon the Bible a half an hour. Most of you, I think, you're trying to make an hour. So meditating a half hour, the church says. We've got the hour here. Okay, then pray for the intentions of the Pope. Make the decision that you want to give up sin. That's at least the intention in your heart. I don't want to sin anymore. We are going to sin, but you have to make that firm decision. I will avoid any person, place, thing, or circumstance. I will do all I possibly can to avoid sin. The fourth step I mentioned last week, to avoid the near occasion of sin. And then, the most important thing is you go to Mass and receive communion with great love. You do that, you have received a plenary indulgence. If you die, you go right to heaven. What do you think? Yeah? Take advantage of what the church offers. I try to get a plenary indulgence every week for myself. Why? I try to go to confession every week or every 10 days. You're probably much more holy than I am, so I like to go to confession frequently. Then I'm a priest. I say Mass. You heard my homily. You know, one rosary. Today I already prayed four rosaries. You know? I prayed it in family. In my family within the car. Pray for the Pope. Avoid sin. Plenary indulgence. I'm planning to go right to heaven. But I want to go with you also. Want to come along with me?
Yes.
You can. It's not that complicated. But if you don't know that, you don't do it, you're not going to take advantage of what the church offers. I've decided myself, until I die, I'm going to spend long hours in confessional, but I'm going to be preaching and teaching until I die. Because there's so much ignorance, and I'm a teacher. And I teach in a very simple way, but I teach the truth. So I'll be doing those things until I die. I will preach and preach and preach. The founder of the Oblate said we should be found dead in the pulpit or the confessional. Amen. Yeah. May God give me that grace. May God give me that grace. Preaching or there nailing myself in the confessional. Those are the two places where the priest should be, as well as the altar. Amen. We all have to be faithful to our vocation, right? People will say to me, Father, how can you spend 4, 5, 6, 7 hours in the confessional? And they say, how can you spend 8 hours with yelling children? Because I don't have the vocation to marriage. Now, that's not my vocation. Most of you have that. But you don't have the vocation to be a priest, most of you, so you don't have that vocation. Every vocation is given a specific grace. It's called the vocational sacramental grace. All right, so many of you have not made your gender confession yet, but prepare yourself well and try to make it as best you can. And given that there's a lack of priests, try to confess really well, but don't spend a lot of time talking about things that are extraneous to confession. Hit the nail on the head. Just when you go to confession, you just tell your sins. Remember Dragnet with Joe Friday? Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the sins, ma'am. Just the sins, ma'am. Just the sins, ma'am. So hit the nail on the head. All right. This week, we enter into a new stage in the exercises. And we will enter into the week where we encounter Christ. The focus is going to be on Christ. The call of Christ the King. Then you're going to be meditating this week upon the joyful mysteries. The call of Christ the King and the joyful mysteries. So let's talk about the call of Christ the King and his purpose. The grace we're going to be begging for is the grace not to be deaf to the call of the King. Did you hear me? Okay, not to be deaf to the call of the King. Saint Ignatius presents this contemplation as such. There's two parts. Two parts. The first part is a parable in which Ignatius tells us to imagine an earthly king who's very ambitious and he wants to convert the whole world to himself. He's inviting followers to conquer the world to himself. Now, this earthly king is very intelligent, very creative, very courageous. And he wants to conquer the world to himself, and in those who follow, he's going to share the spoils or the victory with those who want to follow him. We know the end of the story is that he's going to win the victory, and he's going to share the victory with those who follow him. Ignatius makes this question, how many would be willing to follow this king? Okay. He says, only those who don't have intelligence would not raise their hands. Okay. How many want to follow this king? Okay, good. All the hands went up now. Okay. Because you know he's going to win. But there is a stipulation. You have to enter into boot camp. You have to enter into boot camp and you have to discipline yourself so that you can fight with this king to win the battle. which means long hours of discipline, exercise, maybe sleepless nights, maybe fasting. In other words, you got to pay the cost. As the athletes say, no pain, no gain. You have to be willing to walk the extra mile. How many would still like to follow this king? Well, good. Didn't chicken out, huh? Good. The experts in the exercises would invite you to try to imagine some earthly leader that you admire. Some earthly leader that you admire. Some great leader. This is just on a human level. Maybe Napoleon Bonaparte. He was a great military leader. Maybe Mahatma Gandhi. What a great man he was. Those who are in this country, we all admire. George Washington. We wouldn't be here for him if it weren't for George Washington. Or maybe in the church, maybe you'd like to follow John Paul II. You like him? How about Mother Teresa of Calcutta? How about someone like Thomas Aquinas? How about Teresa of Avila, her feast day the other day, huh? How about someone like St. Augustine? How about someone like St. Ignatius or Francis Xavier? Or I love St. Faustina. We all admire these great men and women. And St. Ignatius says, this week, in your free time, to read the lives of the saints. Read the lives of the saints in addition to your meditation. Because we're called to imitate the saints. Okay, we're called to imitate the saints. Those are our models. This Monday we celebrate one of my favorite saints. There was a movie that came out for 2 days, about a month ago. And his name is Saint Anthony Marie Claret. Maybe some of you saw the movie, pretty well done. But if you read his autobiography, it's 5 times better. He was an example for the call of the king. A man that had a fiery love for God, for the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Okay, let's take one more step, okay? We all would like to follow this very noble earthly king that's going to win, and he's going to share his victory with us. And all of you, after asked 2 times, you all raise your hands. Those who didn't probably don't understand English, okay? But all of us who understood raised our hands. Okay, how many of you would like to follow Christ the King? I got 2 hands up now, huh? See the connection. Ignatius is going to take the earthly king as a springboard to follow Christ the King. Now, Christ the King is different than the earthly king because the earthly king is interested in conquering the world and countries and lands and money and plantations and all that. Jesus Christ has one desire, to conquer the souls of men and women. That's his purpose. If you love Jesus, you want to love what Jesus loves. What Jesus loves is the salvation of souls. How many of you want to work with Jesus to save souls? Do you? Now this part of the exercise, if you're doing them well, you make your gender confession, you hear the call of the King, you should have an ardent desire in your heart to save souls. And to save as many souls as you can. When I celebrate Mass, one of my intentions is, Lord, I pray that this Mass will save 1 million souls. And I hear the Lord say, ask for more. Ask for more. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. Ask for more. You're offering my precious blood to the Eternal Father. You can have more. Yes, Lord. We receive little because we ask for little. We receive little because we ask for little. You've ever read the Diary of St. Faustina? Ask with bold confidence. Jesus tells Faustina, he's hurt because we ask for so little. Ask for more. Ask for the skies and you'll get the skies. So we should have, if you're doing these exercises well, the fruit, one of the fruits is you should have an ardent desire to work with the Lord. To work with the Lord to save as many souls as possible. And for the Mexicanos, this is one for the Mexicans, no? Que vive Cristo Rey, right? Yeah, this is very for the Mexicans, que vive Cristo Rey, Christ the King. Which we're going to be celebrating in about 5 weeks. During these exercises, we will celebrate Christ the King at the end of November. All right. To expound upon your desire to save souls. One soul. The soul of your little daughter. The soul of your husband is worth more than the whole created universe. Thomas Aquinas. I repeat, one soul, your soul. Your soul is worth more than the whole created universe. You could spend a whole hour just meditating upon that one idea. You could. You're there just meditating upon that. Wow. My soul, the soul of my little daughter, my teenage son, is worth more than the whole created universe. That's going to move you to do great things for God. How could it not? How could it not? That's going to motivate you to do great things for God. Take as an example the lives of the saints. That's why we have to start to little by little change our way of thinking. To put on the mind of Christ, as St. Paul says. Put on the mind of Christ. Have a fresh way of thinking. We have to little by little start to purify our worldly way of thinking and put on the mind of Christ. These exercises are going to help. You're going to be thinking in a different way the more you meditate upon these divine truths. Okay, to prove to you the value of one soul, I'm going to mention three saints. I'm trying to mention saints that everyone has heard of, okay? Even though there's tons of saints, every saint is a reflection of the von Balthasar says, you look up into heaven, you can see the stars glittering, the firmament, that's indicative of the firmament of heaven, the stars that are in the heavenly home. But three of the saints that you've all heard of start with Padre Pio. Have you heard of him? Okay, now related to apostolic zeal, this is apostolic zeal, zeal to save souls. Did any of you ever get a cut in your hand or your foot? You tried to alleviate that right away, right? Iodine, you got some medicine, you put a band-aid on, you tried to tend that cut right away. How on earth could anyone have the stigmata for 50 years? You tell me. You tell me. I didn't say 50 minutes, I said 50 years! And that wasn't just a little cut. There were four wounds, rather five wounds. His hands, his feet, and his side. And once someone said, does it hurt? He said, it's not a Christmas decoration. It was a stupid question. He gave a stupid answer, no? Of course it hurts. It would bleed every Friday, and during Lent, La Quaresma, it would bleed the whole time. Now, why? Why? Because he understood the value of souls. There's no other reason. On a human level, that would be impossible. Just to think about that, we almost faint. Just to think about it. The only religion that gives a positive interpretation of suffering is Catholicism. I did a course on comparative religions at Villanova years ago, studying Buddhism, Hinduism, Zoroastrianism, Islamism, Shintoism. I mean, I studied it all. All the major religions. Maybe some of you have studied also comparative religions. The only religion that gives a positive value to suffering is Catholicism. So, why do they suffer? To unite themselves to Christ and the cross, to repair for sin, but to save souls. So many mothers and fathers come up to me, say, with tears in their eyes, someone today, right before the class, Father, my son is no longer practicing his faith. He was an altar boy. And I've got a daughter that received all the sacraments. And she was even going to daily mass. She prayed the rosary. And now, my son and daughter, they no longer practice their faith. What can I do? Can I tell you? Are you ready? Okay, starting right now, Mass every day for a year. Say 3 to 4 rosaries a day. You fast on bread and water maybe once a week. And stop complaining. See what I said? Instead of complaining, useless crocodile tears. As we say in New York, put your money where your mouth is. Come on. And all that entails suffering. You go to daily mass, you've got to organize your schedule. Saying 3 or 4 rosaries, how can I do that, Father? Bread and water, Father, my capital sin is gluttony. I don't like to do that, no? You want to save the soul, my friends? You got to pay the price. probably none of you wanted to hear that, but that's the call of the king. We suffer from complainitis. We're complaining about everything. And we should have, okay, we should have calluses on our knees. We've got them here instead, right? Calluses on our knees. So the Kyrie of ours, I mean, the Padre Pio, why did he do that? Because he loved God and loves what God loves, the salvation of souls. Okay, the next, most of you have probably heard of this saint, the Kyrie of ours. Have you? Kyrie of ours, one of the greatest priests in the Catholic Church. I have a first-class relic of him in my room, a little bone of him. My mother has all these connections. She knows that I spent a lot of time confessing. She got me the first class, right? A bone of the Curie of Ars. My friends, for more than 35 years, he spent 15 hours every day in the confessional. You hear me? It wasn't, 15 hours, 2 weeks. Rather, 15 hours in the confessional for more than 35 years. How on earth could he do that? Why? Because he recognized every one of the souls that he was confessing through his prayers. He hoped that every soul would be saved. And he's willing to suffer. You know how much he ate? 2 or 3 potatoes a day, midday. How much did he sleep? 3 hours a night on the floor. What was the color of his walls? Yeah? I mean, we feel embarrassed because we're lazy, we're gluttonous. I mean, don't feel discouraged, but look at the lives of the saints. Oh, we're almost light years away from them, aren't we? Yeah, be honest. So, these exercises should push us out of our comfort zone, our lethargy, our laziness, and want to become saints. Amen?
Amen.
Have the desire to become saints. Hey, my friends, we got one life to live. We got one life to live. I've been thinking about my own life. If I live to be 85, I've already lived more than 75% of my life. I'm closer to the other side of the bridge. I'm keenly aware of my mortality. I'm not getting any younger. And you aren't either, are you? Am I going to make 85? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe I will. My grandmother lived to be 104. My mom's 91. I might. There's longevity in my family. But a chola from Hawaiian Garden can shoot. I don't duck. I mean, I could duck. I live in the gardens, no? Yeah, it's dangerous. I mean, almost all of the cities of L.A. are dangerous, but the gardens even more so, no? It could happen. I don't know. We don't know when we're going to die. It'll come like a thief in the night, Jesus says. So I would really try to make this confession. Well, make your plenary indulgence, and this would be a good time also to read the book that I gave to you. Yeah, this would be a good time because the book is going to help you to order the disordered and start to have a more ordered spiritual life. My homily today was basically a summary of my book, The 5 M's. My homily is basically a summary of the book I wrote in 15 minutes. All right. And then the third example would be I love this little saint, Saint Jacinta Marto. Any of you have children? The Children of Fatima is one of the best lessons you can teach your children. Any of you have children or grandchildren? None better than them. None better than Fatima and those little children. Jacinta Marto. Have any of you ever read The Message of Fatima? Have you? What? When were they converted after the vision of hell? Remember? They saw the vision of hell, and little Jacinta was radically transformed. Look at all the sacrifices that she made. Why? What? To save souls from hell. This little girl, she couldn't even read and write. She was illiterate. Little shepherd girl. After the vision of Fatima, after the vision of hell, she lived like a saint. She gave up her favorite food, which is what? The tasty grapes from the hills of Portugal. She wore a little rope around her body. She loved to dance. I'm not going to do that anymore. She prayed many rosaries. On a hot day in the middle of summer, she would even decide not to drink cold water when she was dying of thirst. Why? Because she loved souls. And I think the thermometer of your holiness is your love for God, but what are you doing to save souls? If you don't have this apostolic zeal to save souls, I question how your meditations are going. I question. Is it just a sham, or are the exercises hitting home? And pray for priests. Pray for priests, because for me, one of the biggest problems is choosing between good, better, and best, because there's so much good we can do. These are tough times, but quoting the greatest novelist of the 19th century, who's Charles Dickens, the worst of times can be the best of times. Amen? The worst of times can be the best of times. Since the pandemic, I've never worked harder in my life since the pandemic. Everything was closed down, almost as if I had double work, you know? Online, all these different projects. And I think if you have your eyes open, you will be able to save many souls. All right. So those are three examples of saints that were willing to suffer to save souls. All right. So I'd like to give you a flash exposition on how we can become fiery apostles for Christ. In our country, probably the best evangelizer in our country, in the history of our country, would be Fulton Sheen. And you've heard of him. I've mentioned him. I mention him almost every time, no? Fulton Sheen is probably the best. Any of you like to read Treasures in Clay, which is his autobiography? Yeah, if you can. Treasures in Clay is the autobiography of Fulton Sheen. Then he wrote about another 70 books. You would be blown away at the number of souls that this man touched. He was on public TV hitting 30 million Americans. Imagine that. Jews, Protestants, Catholics, non-believers, everyone loved him. And he beat out the most famous comedian in our country, Uncle Milty, Milton Berle. Some of you don't remember because you're too young. Milton Berle was the most famous comedian in the country. Fulton Sheen had more viewers than Milton Berle. We all like comedians. We like comedians. Right? Because he was a saint. The fact that he's not canonized is the work of the devil. He is the model for all priests today. I can't see any priest, he's a bishop, be a better model for us. And he's one of us. I met him in person. I met him in person. I'm not lying, I did. He died in 79 in front of the Blessed Sacrament in New York. Because he had his chapel there in Manhattan. Okay, his last holy hour, he died in front of the Blessed Sacrament, December 9th, Juan Diego, Feast of Juan Diego, right after the Immaculate Conception. Okay, if you just, you see all of his apostolic works, you have to recognize where it came from. Obviously, this man was a genius. He was a genius. He had a photographic memory. You're not going to meet anyone who had a more brilliant intellect than him, probably in our country. Now, he was a genius. And I think he knew it. You know, a photographic memory. You listen to him quoting Shakespeare and Tennyson and Chaucer. And I mean, he's just quoting these poems from memory. He was a genius. But he was a genius saint. Put those two together, you got a winner. Like Thomas Aquinas. Like John Paul II. Okay, the essence of his success is, you know, write it down or memorize this. He said, first come, then go. Which comes from Jesus. First come, then go. Can you repeat that?
First come, then go.
Once again.
First come, then go.
Okay, it has to be that way. Because if you just go without the coming, you're going to fall flat on your face. You're not going to convert a cucaracha. You're not. You're going to convert anyone, not even your shadow. Okay? First come means what? First, your contemplative life, then your active life. First, your life with the Lord, your holy hour. First, your holy hour. For me, get up about 5 and give the Lord about an hour and a half. Because an hour for me, it's not enough. I want to arrive maybe one day, I'll arrive at 2 hours. Having this real hunger to be with the Lord. Then if I can do that, I'm going to be a gangbuster. I will be. Put that together, my mass, my rosary, you're going to see the mountains move. And it's not me, it's the Lord. No longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. If I'm filled with God, then I can give God to others. Filled with myself, I can't give anything but my own selfishness. First come, then go. So I hope we're at midpoint now. We're in the middle of the exercises. I even hope now that after you finish this program, that you will persevere. And if you want to persevere, I am your greatest advocate. I'll do all I possibly can to help you to persevere. But I can't force you. If you want to persevere, I will give you all the tools. And then you have to use those tools. The way this program is set up is after we finish, then I give a lot of ideas on how you can persevere. Most people do not, sad to say. And then what happens if you don't persevere? you'll return to living a mediocre lifestyle. Do you want to be mediocre?
No.
I mean, there's no way around it. If you give it up, you're going to return to living a mediocre lifestyle. As a lot of your friends will say, hey, just be normal. You're kind of a fanatic anyway. Just be normal. Just be normal. I mean, you're crazy. Getting up at 5 o'clock, a holy hour. You're going to Mass, you're praying the rosary. Going to confession every 3 weeks. You are, whoo-hoo, whoo-hoo, chiflado. Chiflado. That's Spanish for you're crazy. Chiflado. Hey, the saints made people feel very uncomfortable. They did. You live with a saint, rocking the boat of our own lethargy or laziness. Huh? But you have to even now, you finish these exercises, as we say in New York, come hell or high water, I'm going to persevere. Come hell or high water, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to stick it out. And you'll end up your life becoming a saint. I promise you. But you have already decided right now on that. Okay, next. Okay, related. This is your contemplative life. Okay, another thing related to your contemplative life is that all of us, not only do we do our holy hour, but we all have to study our faith. You hear me?
Yes.
It's two things. You're doing your holy hour, but also you're finding time to study. And you have a spiritual director. Eventually we'll get you one. We'll get you a spiritual director. That's one of the topics in spiritual direction. What are you doing for your ongoing formation? You hear me? In this room here, we have a lot of people that are professionals here. Okay, that you have a college degree, the teachers here, nurses, okay, some engineers, professors. Some of you are. And the example I try to give is this: if you're a professional, a priest or a professional, whatever, if you're working, there's constant ongoing formation, right? Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, the example I'd like to give is this. It's a personal example. I have an older brother who's in his late 60s now, and he's in Florida. He's a spine surgeon, okay? Orthopedic surgeon. I went to visit him a couple years ago, and he said, he's in his late 60s. He had to pass a test. Pass a test. Pass an exam. He's a graduate from Dartmouth, summa cum laude. Then Columbia Medical School. You got the best universities in the country. Two Ivy Leagues, no? And being the best student, no? Why on earth does he have to study again? Because even though he studied many years, there's always progress in science, especially medicine. And if you're a surgeon, hey, you make a mistake, that could be $25,000 lawsuit against you. You make a mistake as a doctor, you're up the creek. So if a doctor or a teacher or an engineer or an architect has to be on top of things, what about us as Catholics? Should we be rinky-dink Catholics? Do I say welcome to the rinky-dink club of Catholicism? We should be studying our faith until we die. And take John Paul II as an example. Here you have one of the most brilliant men who ever lived. Read Witness of Pope of George Weigel. He spends the morning what? Praying and studying. Praying, and then he's on the run. So all of you will have to pray over that. What should, okay, there's so much to study. Where should you start? Yeah, I think you should talk to your spiritual director. What should you study? Because there's thousands of things. You have to pray over that. What should I study? In general, we should all try to get to know the Bible better. That should be number one. A good study of the Bible, maybe the Didache Bible Commentary. Have you heard of that? Where you've got the commentary of the Bible from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. That's probably about the best thing out there to really have a catechetical understanding of the Bible. I think all of us, this is a pretty well-educated group, I think all of us should read the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Hello? And I admire what Father Stephen was saying when he said last week and this week, I wanted to compliment him. He is teaching the documents of Vatican. I've never heard that before in a parish. What a beautiful thing. Thank God they have a pastor giving you excellent teaching. So Catechism, Catholic Church, and the four dogmatic constitutions would be Sacrosanctum Concilium, De Verbum, Gaudium et Spes, and Lumen Gentium. Those are the dogmatic constitutions of Vatican II. Then morally, okay, I tell you on a personal level, what I plan to study the next year is. And this is going to take time because I'm busy, but I already have like I don't even have the rough draft, but I have the inspiration to fight against the LGBT movement. Okay? Amen? Amen. Biblically, I can already give an hour talk defending it using the Bible. But I want to go psychologically, socially, medically. I want to hit different ramifications. Because someone might come up to me, okay, you're a priest, you talk about the Bible, I don't accept the Bible, so I'll go in another direction. So that as well as abortion. Yes. Abortion is the moral evil number one, then this LGBT is the second moral evil. Because abortion destroys the baby. Abortion destroys the baby. And the LGBT destroys the family. If you kill the baby and you kill the family, my friends, we're going down the tubes. And if you study history, study world history, the Greek civilization, the Roman civilization, any great civilization, it came apart because the family was destroyed. That's world history. I don't have a degree in history, but I've got studies. The Greco-Roman civilization, the family fell apart and the whole society fell apart. And that's where we're heading in this country. I'm not cynical, I'm a realist. So myself, as a preacher and teacher, becoming more cognizant of how to defend the faith in that area, that's something that I honestly have to study more. So this is part of the call of the King. The more you have God and the more knowledge you have of God, the more you can spread God. Okay, you can't give what you don't have. And I would say a lot of parents, if you have a teenager that comes up in school talking about this whole LGBT, most parents do not know what to say. Most parents don't. Maybe some of you do. But your parents, That's a moral problem that your kid has. It's your moral duty to sit down and explain to your child why marriage is between a man and a woman. You have to give all these reasons. Otherwise, you're derelict as a parent. Sorry. It's your moral obligation to form your children morally and spiritually. Take that seriously. When you die, God is going to say, what did you do to get your kids into heaven? That's one of the first things Jesus is going to ask you. Get ready. I'm making a prophecy. You go, remember what Father Broome said that night? Oh, I didn't want to hear that. Well, you had to hear it. You had to hear it. So, the call of the king is first come and then go. This is a topic that fascinates me as a priest. Fascinates me as a priest. Okay. Talking personally. There's so many ways that we can be touching souls today. Okay, I wrote that book. 2 weeks ago, my fourth book came out on the Blessed Mother. Thousands of people are going to read that. Souls are going to be converted. I'll have radio interviews on my books. It's going to hit thousands of people. Maybe I'll invite an EWTN. I've already been on EWTN. That's the biggest in the world, right? Touching a lot of people. Writing blog articles. The other day I got an email that they want to translate my blog article in Croatian. Thanks be to God. Not bad, huh? Jesus said, go out and preach to the whole world. Preach to the whole world. Okay, right now I'm working with about 250 here and about 300 in Paramount. Right now for 10 weeks, I'm working directly with 500 souls. Every one of you is important. Everyone is important. But I got 500 souls. Not to mention online. Not to mention online. I'll go back to one of my YouTubes that I gave on General Confession, where 10,000 people followed that, one I gave in Texas, no? So a lot of souls out there. The harvest is rich. The harvest is rich and the laborers are few. All right. Before going out to the world, all of you have to start and pray. Okay, you all live in a family? Do you? Okay, almost all of you live in the family. Maybe some of you live alone in your apartment, your condo, but most of you live in a family with a husband, maybe a couple of kids, maybe your mother-in-law. You have to pray over this. What can I do to bring my family members closer to God? You got to pray over that. What can I do to bring my family members closer to God? And maybe if your family is basically filled with deadbeats, no? Okay. Well, you got to wake up the deadbeats, huh? Maybe start, did you hear my homily? Okay, start by blessing the meal. Okay? That's a step in the right direction. Only takes a few seconds. Starting tomorrow, okay, at your meal there, okay, we're going to say a prayer. You see, this is the call of the king right at home. Right at home. And then bring your family. Okay, before we retire, we're going to pray a decade of the rosary. Maybe the 5 decades is too much. But start with a decade. Then before, you have children. How many still have children at home? Okay, before you go to bed, pray with them and bless them with holy water. Do that. Your kids, even the teenagers, they'll like that. We all like holy water, right? Say a few prayers. Okay, bless them with holy water. Give them a hug and a kiss. May God bless you and sleep with the angels. You see, this is the call of the king starting at home. Pray for the grace like John Paul II. He called it creative initiative. We've got to be creative. Not stodgy and stultified, but we've got to be creative. Got to be creative. Okay, I'll give you an example how I've been creative. Okay. 20 years ago, and I've been here for many years, thinking most of the people in our parish are Hispanics. Huge numbers, they're living together. They're living together. So I had an idea. Okay. Now these are Mexicanos. Mexicanos, yeah. Yo lo conozco. Lo conozco, sí. Yo me hago mexicano ahorita, ¿no? Try to be like them, okay? I got it! Boda comunitaria. Have a group wedding, okay? You can be hiding behind each other. Okay, group wedding! Okay? I got it, though. When? I'll do it on the feast day of Our Lady Guadalupe. Group wedding, Our Lady Guadalupe. Okay, I'm just warming up now. Okay, ready? Let's throw out some bait and reel them in. Pum pa lum pa lum pum 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 pa lum pa lum pum mariachi 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 oh yeah. I personally I don't really like mariachi that much, but I mean if the Mexicans like it, I'll like it for them, no? I gotta be honest, no? I'd almost prefer the Beatles, no? But okay, then I got it. Okay, you ready? I'll marry you for free. Yeah? For free? Gratis. Oh boy, am I warming up, huh? Then they said, okay, I'll marry you for free. And after the Mass, we have a big church and a small church. You can use the small church and we'll give them a free Mexican meal. And then they can maybe sing and dance a little bit, huh? I had 50 couples that wanted to get married. 50 couples. And Father Larry said, oh, there's only enough for 25 couples in the church. So we had to do one on Our Lady of Guadalupe, then another one a couple weeks because there's not room. And then I invited the bishop to come. Remember Bishop Sartoris in the interview? This is 20 years ago. So you had these couples that were living from 10 to 40 years together. They were married and they left in the state of grace. You see? It's being creative. I know these Mexican people. They love Our Lady Guadalupe. They love La Pechanga. They love La Fiesta. They want it for free. Okay? They want the party. They want the tacos enchiladas. I mean, all that, yeah? enchiladas, okay? For me, I'll put myself on my head and spit out wooden nickel to save souls, no? Anything to save souls. But it's knowing the cultural identity of the people and give them what they want. Drop the bait. Reel them in. And what a beautiful example to their children, even some of them, their grandchildren. Probably the happiest day in their life. So that's one example of how I try to follow the call of the King. Follow the call of the King. Reel them in. So, all of you should pray to the Holy Spirit for the grace to see what is the way in which God is calling you to save souls. What is the way in which God is calling you to save souls? St. James chapter 5 says, you bring back a wandering soul, you save your soul, and you expiate a multitude of sins.
Wow.
You like that? St. James chapter 5, the last verse is of St. James. He who brings back a wandering soul, he will save his own soul and expiate a multitude of sins. Which means salvation of your soul and less time in purgatory. Yeah. Less time in purgatory. Then after you do the call of the King, you're going to be entering into the life of Jesus, Mary, and Saint Joseph, meditating upon the joyful mysteries. And you're going to be begging for this grace after you do the call of the King. And it will be intimate knowledge of Jesus made man that you love him more ardently and you follow him more closely. Amen?
Amen.
So that's where we're heading this week. You make your general confession, your soul is cleansed. Your ears are now attuned to the call of the King. You can hear the Lord more clearly. The Lord is calling you to walk with Him and to save souls for the kingdom. And then we're going to be meditating upon the endearing mysteries of the private life of Jesus. The Annunciation, the Visitation, the birth of Christ, the Presentation, the finding of the child Jesus in the temple. But you're going to be going really deep into these mysteries. You're going to be penetrating the depth of the love of God through the Incarnation. Amen?
Amen.
So I'll pray for all of you that these are going to be the best 10 weeks in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. If you sit down just a moment. If you cannot stay for group, as usual, if you need to leave.